This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman.
Me having no cavities, that's an actual flex because I am the one that contributed to that greatness.
Oh my God.
Me being a plus one. Well, what? At this stage of my life, in my 30s, no cavities? That's great.
That's outstanding.
Thank you. I'm a dentist dream. I probably should floss more, but anyway.
The humble Michelle Smallman.
The facts are the facts. The numbers don't lie.
She's now talking about her stats, her cavity stats, over the course of time. Rob Lorenzo, our social and digital guy, is now putting together all kinds of like videos and pictures of you just pointing to your own teeth. Like, CeCe has a 99 up here and a Super Bowl trophy up
here.
Yeah,
he does.
And he doesn't flex as much as you do on your teeth.
Well, we both earned those things. I earned That's zero true. Cavities.
He earned a Super Bowl championship.
Exactly.
What would you rather have, zero cavities or a ring?
I would rather have all the cavities in the world and a Super Bowl championship.
I don't know about that, though. I mean, her teeth shine brighter than my diamonds in my Super Bowl ring or that trophy. I'm just saying.
That's really nice, but I've seen the ring and I know you're lying.
On that note.
That's very sweet of you. You're a great teammate. I have seen the ring.
Iced out. Smalls, give us an update because I have failed at this for 2 days now in the Soul Series, Dodgers and Padres.
Sure. The bottom of the seventh, the Padres still ahead of the Dodgers 12-9. Two outs in the bottom of the seventh, but the Dodgers have two on, including one in scoring position.
All right. We will keep you updated on that. ESPN Television has all of that for you. With the Soul Series game number two, which, of course, has been overshadowed by all of the conversation as we've been having. And ESPN.com has all of the articles. Tisha Thompson there with the reporting about Shohei Ohtani, his translator, the $4.5 million debt owed, where it came from money-wise, who paid it, who knew, et cetera. Details still, obviously, coming out there. So we know that the quarterback position in the NFL, we've seen a lot of musical chairs recently. The Steelers have had a huge couple of weeks as they get rid of their entire QB room from last year. They bring in initially Russell Wilson. Then they trade for Justin Fields after they traded Kenny Pickett to Philadelphia. And Adam Schefter, ESPN senior NFL insider, had something to say about the possibilities of what could happen if the first quarterback in does not outperform the second quarterback in if Fields wins the job.
They can appoint Russell Wilson the starter. They can say Fields is the backup. But the fact of the matter is they have the luxury of letting this play out during camp and doing whatever is best for that football team. There's no commitment, obligation, loyalty to any one of these guys. They didn't pay very much for either one of them. I even had an executive say if Justin Fields played him, Russell Wilson during training camp, they could see Russell Wilson then moving on from him before the season. Like, there's a whole range of possibilities. We know that Russell Wilson goes in as the starter, but again, they're going to let the competition play out and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, none of that surprises me at all. That's what I've been saying all along, and I've compared it to the Cam Newton situation with New England his second year when he didn't win the job. Mac Jones did. That worked out well. And then Cam was released as a result of that. I think that what we're looking at here is Russell Wilson's options with the Steelers are either first string or not on the team.
Mm-hmm. It feels like his options with the entire league is first string or not in the league.
With the Steelers. Like, he's either first string with the Steelers or not on any team.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Or he's just first string. He's first string with any team. Like,
got
that's
it.
What I'm – I guess I'm not going to say that he won't be a starter if he ends up getting released in training camp by the Steelers because you never know what's going to happen with somebody else's starter around the league, right? We always see injuries early on in training camp, early on in the regular season. We had 66 different starting quarterbacks in 2023.
Is that all?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not as if – you know, Russell Wilson not being good enough to be the starter for the Steelers doesn't mean that he won't be good enough to be a starter somewhere else. But I think in this situation, the way that it's set up for him, with all of the pieces that the Pittsburgh Steelers have in place on offense, how good that roster is top to bottom, if he doesn't have success, then I have serious doubts about his mortality as a quarterback in the National Football League, especially with all of the baggage that comes along with Russell Wilson. It's not just the individual. It's Russell Wilson, Inc. It's everybody that's in his orbit. And it hasn't necessarily been construed as a bad thing until we saw it a couple of years in Denver. And now it feels like the entire NFL has done a 180 as it pertains to Russell Wilson's sports character. And if he can't make it work out in Pittsburgh, the most stable organization in the league, and I don't know that he's going to be able to make it work out anywhere.
Yeah, I think if it doesn't work out in Pittsburgh, he is out of options being someone's first choice to be their quarterback. Maybe he will be, as you mentioned, somebody who comes in if, God forbid, there's an injury somewhere. But he's not somebody who I think would welcome the role of a backup or that a team would want to bring in as a backup because of the brand of Russell Wilson and because of the fact that there would be distractions if he was the backup. You know what I mean? It's not like an easy situation where you can bring somebody in as a safety net.
No, I completely agree. And I'm just sitting here thinking about how this whole thing went down and them reshaping their quarterback room in Pittsburgh. Remember, they told Russell Wilson he was going to be the starter. They also let Kenny Pickett know that he wasn't going to be the starter, and they jettisoned Kenny Pickett. Then they make the trade for Justin Fields. To have to go out and make that kind of commitment to Russ, both in private and in public, what does that say about what Russ needs in order to be an effective quarterback at this stage in his career? And would somebody else, other than the Steelers, be willing to give it to him at this stage in his career?
That's an interesting
one. I don't think it would be. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would be. Like, other teams are going to look at Russ as an option. They're not going to prioritize him the way the Pittsburgh Steelers did this offseason.
I think he's going to be the starter, and I think he's going to play well. But I have been rooting for this guy and think he's better than people have made him out to be.
But what happens if he doesn't?
Then he's not on the team. That's it.
And then where is he?
Well, okay, so here's the interesting thing. As we sit here today, we've had the conversation about Caleb Williams with the Bears and how it would be great if there was somebody there to kind of put your arm around him and be that kind of transition quarterback that's been there, done that, won an MVP. I'm sorry, won a Super Bowl. Russell Wilson may make more sense on the Bears.
No.
I'm just saying.
No.
What song are we singing?
I don't know. I just jumped on the singing.
It's a reggae song.
Because it was fun.
Whatever you were singing, she has no idea what that was.
She was actually perfect, though.
Thank you.
Well, she's got good teeth.
It's just like my cabinet count. But you want to talk about a distraction? Of all the great things the Chicago Bears have done to surround, presumably, Caleb Williams when he steps into that role, bringing in Russell Wilson at any point in the season, if it didn't work out in Pittsburgh, would just be a distraction. Because I don't think Russell Wilson, if it doesn't work out in Pittsburgh, is still in a place where, or is capable, at least right now, of being in a place where he's going to accept a backup role. He's going to be thinking that he can be a starter anywhere that he goes because of the history that he's had in this league.
So then, is there another team that you would sit there and say, yes, he should start over their current quarterback and it makes more sense for their team currently?
Minnesota. But
yeah.
I'm assuming that Minnesota is going to go up and get a quarterback. And if that's the case, then no, that takes that off the board. That is a great question.
What's funny?
Here's the thing.
Seattle.
That's what I'm going to say.
Seattle
actually does make some sense.
I'll give you another one. If he never was there and it was at this price, Denver. As odd as that sounds, if he was never there and he didn't cost what he costed for them and they weren't still paying him and he was just a $1.2 million roll-the-dice veteran quarterback, Denver makes all the sense in the world, as odd as that sounds.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. You know, you talk about it's an interesting angle
on
this.
Would the Saints be better off with Russell Wilson as their quarterback over Derek Carr?
I think so.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that.
Not. They can't. The money won't work. But, I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking about it. Like, who are the places where you can say Russ represents a clear and obvious upgrade over what they're currently doing?
Go ahead, Smart.
Just going to say, New Orleans almost feels like a push. Like, they're kind of right there in the same level now.
Okay, I'm with you.
Like, Russell Wilson, I don't think, is markedly better or worse than what we've seen from Derek Carr.
Okay.
Buy that. You bring up the idea of, are we about to do a 180 on Russell Wilson in terms of...
Oh, the league has.
The league has, right. Yeah. But here's the thing. I personally believe that he is going to get an unbelievably fair chance at being the starting quarterback because of who the head coach is, with no preconceived notions. I think Mike Tomlin is going in there saying, if you can win it, great. If you can't, great. Like, I think that he's
going
to be so fair.
But they're
fair.
Going into camp without it being a camp battle. Like, this is your job.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not the starter, what we're saying to the rest of the NFL is that you lost the job to a guy in Justin Fields that nobody thought better of than to get a 6-round conditional pick for.
But, yes, but can we also ask the question about the 180 thought? What if Denver's not good? Are we getting to a place of Sean Payton? We do a 180 on him, right?
No, I don't know that we're there yet. And the reason why is because, listen, Russell Wilson wanted everything that he wanted, all of these different things on his way out of Seattle, right? He wanted more influence over who the play caller was, more influence on the style of offense. I mean, they went as far as to give this guy an office. Mm-hmm. Not a locker in the locker room with the rest of the players, but he had his own office with the coaches. Like, he had a parking spot not only for him, but for his team. He wanted his people to have unencumbered access to the facility. They gave him everything he wanted, and it was an absolute disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute disaster. And the coach, they paid a coach $18 million to try to make it work. They paid Sean Payton $18 million a year to try to make it work with Russell Wilson, a guy that they handed a contract to. And they realized after year one that it wasn't going to work, and they cut their losses at $85 million in dead money.
Like, yeah, but I'm just wondering if they're going to do the same with the coach at some point.
I guess my point is there is no benefit of the doubt when it comes to Russell Wilson anymore because he got exactly what he wanted, and he didn't do anything with it.
I still think it's a great move by him and the Steelers. I think it's a good marriage. I think it has high upside.
I think it is too, Ev. I think there's the potential for it to work out, but we're entertaining the scenario of what if it doesn't? What's the fallout? What does it mean for Russ?
Right,
what does it mean for Fields? What does it mean for the Steelers? Like, all of those things are in flux right now, and I don't think anybody has a clear answer to it. But I will say this. If he doesn't win this training camp battle, well, I don't even know if it's training camp battle, but if he's not the starting quarterback in week one, then that is an indictment on Russell Wilson as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And with all the baggage that he had coming out of Denver, I don't know that anybody else is going to view it worth the squeeze to have him on their roster. If he's not the starter, then why is he on the team?
Yeah.
So Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson are on this list of, if it doesn't go well this year, uh-oh, right?
Out of the league, yeah.
Of high-level people, I don't mean people that are kind of mid-level in the NFL. I'm not trying to be insulting towards them. I'm saying high-level, Hall of Fame-ish caliber players or coaches. Is there anybody else on that list of, you know, we may do a little bit of a 180 on you. We may turn our back as fans on you a little bit if things don't go well for you.
And be out of the league?
Out of the league, out of the position that we know that they're in. Like,
well, I think Derek Carr is going to be relegated to backup status.
He becomes Tannehill.
But he'll be in the league.
Yeah, he'll be in the league. Is there Deshaun Watson?
He's got $128 million guaranteed. Okay. He's going to be in the league.
Yeah, he's going to be there.
I can't believe I'm saying this. Not out of the league and not backup, but how we look at them. If Trevor Lawrence has another bad year for him,
Trevor Lawrence is about to get a bag of money.
I know, I love Trevor Lawrence.
I got one for you. I got one for you. Justin Herbert. Not that he's going to be out of the league,
right,
but if he doesn't show improvements with Jim Harbaugh as his coach, we're going to have a lot of questions.
I think that's
him.
A great one. How about Kyle Shanahan if they have a bad year this year and how we look at him? The 180. Because forever it was, oh my God, Kyle Shanahan. Got to have a Kyle Shanahan guy.
Let me tell you something. If the Rams lose Aaron Donald via retirement and find a way to win the division. If San Francisco doesn't win the division because of that retirement, yeah, we're going to start doing a 180. Like, we're going to start looking at Kyle Shanahan a little bit funny. Like, I'm already looking at him sideways, yeah. But, I mean, I think the rest of the people in the ether will join the party.
Mm-hmm.
He goes from good to good. Where Sean McVay in that spot, if they win the division without Aaron Donald,
yeah,
and an elder, that sounds terrible, an older Matthew Stafford who may be a year or two away from retirement, Sean McVay has already been considered a good coach. I think, actually, in many people's eyes, Kyle Shanahan has surpassed
him. They won a Super Bowl, and they didn't make a first-round pick from 2017 until 2024.
But I think most people think Kyle Shanahan is
better. And you're talking
about
only having one down season, one gap year season?
Yeah.
And then you back in the playoffs? Yeah, I'm telling you.
You don't think more people think Kyle Shanahan? I'm not saying they're right. I think Kyle Shanahan, in terms of mass appeal, is looked at as better than Sean McVay.
I agree. And they're wrong, but I agree. The perception around Shanahan versus what Sean McVay is viewed as.
They gave Kyle Shanahan the entire control of everything without ever being a head coach, and he got to hire the GM.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Sean McVay won a Super Bowl.
We're not saying you're wrong. I'm saying public perception is more people would take Kyle Shanahan over Sean McVay.
Yeah, winning a Super Bowl does not give you like Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl and people talk about him being fired.
Yeah, true.
So I mean, like, it's just
me.
Winning a Super Bowl is great, but like, I think in terms of the perception of the quality of coach, people would put Kyle above Sean, and I just don't see it that way.
Respect it or check it. Next, we're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman.
I said that I believe our ESPN Radio Tournament Challenge would be won by Myron Metcalf. Myron Metcalf is now mad at me that I picked him because it puts too much pressure. And Myron has said it's not people like him that win it. It's the seventh grader that has never watched college basketball before.
Myron? That's a brutal name.
Well, you know how, like, sometimes you have good intentions and they go wrong? This seems to be one of these times. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Lone Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Myron Metcalf, ESPN college reporter, host of Sunday mornings on ESPN Radio with Matt Jones. He joins us now. So you're mad at me that I picked you to win the tournament? I was trying to show you respect, Myron.
I'm sitting there minding my own business, you know, just filling out brackets, doing what I do for ESPN. And all of a sudden, I'm getting all these messages saying they're talking about you on Sportsmanlike. And I'm like, okay, maybe they saw one of my pieces. They're talking about something I wrote in college basketball. And there was no, Evan says you're going to win the whole thing. And that was when I knew I wouldn't win. Right? Because I feel like you jinxed it, you know, and you're my guy. But that's like bracket 101, you know. A guy like me probably isn't going to win. But now I'm definitely not going to win, and I'll probably finish, like, last because I think
you
jinxed
it. Wonderful.
Well, Myron, let's help some other people win some and when it comes to their brackets and hopefully win a little bit of coin, too. What's the most clearest path for a one seed to get to the Final Four? Who you got?
I think it's UConn. I mean, I don't really care who's in their path. I know a lot of people feel like Auburn and Illinois, Iowa State, those are tough teams. But I think UConn is just a cut above everybody. And I don't see any team in the East that really will stand in their way. There aren't a lot of really incredible underdogs. I mean, Florida Atlantic, I've had a couple of their games. They're good. I don't think they're as good as last year's team. You look at a team like BYU that shoots a ton of threes, beat Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. But I don't think they're a real underdog threat. But I think UConn will probably coast to the Final Four. And I think they'll win by double digits every game.
Myron,
wow.
Wow, double digits. I'm going to hold you to that. When Illinois beats him, Myron.
What they do. But then again, remember, Evan said I'm going to win the whole thing, so everything I might be saying right now, it could be the opposite of what actually happened.
Yes, that's right. It could be jinx. But okay, Myron, so which number one seed do you think is the most vulnerable then?
I think it's probably North Carolina. You know, I know a lot of people talking about Houston and the South and having to go through Duke, Kentucky. But I think there are some tough matchups. I mean, North Carolina could have to face a Mississippi State team that's been hot in the second round, or a Michigan State team with Tom Izzo, who always overcomes the odds or exceeds the expectations in March. There are some really, I think, interesting underdogs in that region. Grand Canyon, I think, is a really tough team. Bryce Drew, what they've been able to do. I think Charleston is tough as well. But even the teams like an Alabama, the best offensive team in America for a chunk of the year. Defensively, a lot of struggles, but they can just overwhelm you and put up 100 points. New Mexico, double-digit seed, they could be tough. Clemson, P.J. Hall, one of the best big men in the country, but people haven't really heard about. And then you got that two seed in Arizona that I think is the best team in the West. So I think North Carolina probably is the most vulnerable.
We're talking with Myron Metcalf, ESPN college basketball reporter, host here on ESPN Radio as well, and on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. We know that the tournament a lot of times is about guard play and about coaching. Is there a coach, Myron, or a coach or two that you have blind faith in, that you just assume, okay, that guy's coaching that team, he's going to figure this out?
It's always Izzo for me. I mean, you know, I expect Izzo to beat Mississippi State and then be in a game with North Carolina. I don't know if they'll beat North Carolina because this Michigan State team has had its struggles, but I certainly think they'll, you know, be right there in the mix. I would usually pick Bill Self, but he's not coming in with the team that's 100%. You know, with Kevin McCullough Jr. out for the NCAA tournament, his best player, Hunter Dickinson, coming off an injury. But Bill Self is usually pretty automatic in the early rounds. I'll have to go with Danny Hurley, though. I mean, just based off of recency bias, what he did a year ago, how dominant they were. And I think this team might even be better. Tristan Newton, who's a star on that team, I asked him, best of seven series, last year's national title team versus this year's team. He picked this year's team. He said they could beat that team in seven games. So I think that's a strong statement.
Myron, you mentioned Coach Izzo. I mean, he came out yesterday and he had some complaints about the selection process as it pertains to the NCAA tournament. What did you make about his comments?
I just don't know why we're doing anything to change what has been such a remarkable event. I don't think we should do anything to change how mid-majors are able to get in. I mean, the automatic qualifier, it's not just, you know, the automatic qualifier, it's the conference tournament before that, which adds to March. It's an extension of March Madness. So I think it's great the way it is, but it feels like we're headed to this place where we're going to expand and it's just going to be more Power 5 teams. And I don't think that's the way to go. I mean, give everybody a shot. This is the one equal tournament, if you will, in collegiate sports, in all of sports, mm-hmm. where everybody has a legit chance if you get in to win in advance. So, you know, I think Izzo, I get, you know, what he was saying in terms of, you know, maybe not doing things so heavily in favor of these automatic qualifiers, but why are we messing up a tournament that has been beautiful for decades?
Well, Myron, because everybody has a chance, there's always a Cinderella that emerges. So who is your Cinderella pick for this year's tournament?
I think you got to look at McNeese State and Will Wade and what they've been able to do. I mean, Will Wade shows up, they win 30 games. They've been one of the toughest teams in America. Like, if you look at Florida Atlantic a year ago, when they made their Final Four run, they had veteran guys, and they just got addicted to winning. And I think sometimes that's a factor in this. You have some teams in this event that lost one game in 2 months. So I think a team like McNeese State, 30 games that they've been able to win, they don't know what it's like to lose. And I think in the Midwest, Purdue's the number one seed. We know what happened last year, so Purdue's trying to shake that. And I think that is a winnable region as well. So McNeese State, to me, is the big Cinderella. And then a lot of people are picking Kansas to lose to Samford. Samford has eight players who've made at least 38% of their threes. Like, they can really shoot. And that's going to be a challenge, I think, for the Jayhawks.
Myron, when you look at some of the blue bloods, right, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, you mentioned, I think we got to put UConn now in there, but we know how you feel about them. Any of the other blue bloods excite you for this tournament?
I mean, they're all like high ceiling, low floor teams, like Kentucky. Kentucky could win a national championship. You know, you got two top five NBA draft picks coming off the bench and Rob Dillingham and Reed Shepard. Like, I've never seen a team like that, and I've been covering this forever. So they can just overwhelm you with talent. At the same time, defensively, they haven't been good. As a matter of fact, they've had stretches where they've been terrible. And NCAA tournament history says if you're not an efficient offensive team, an efficient defensive team, you don't make it to the Final Four. You got to be top 30 in both categories. And Kentucky has been under 100 defensively for multiple stretches. So, you think about them and it's like, okay, could win it all, could also lose in the first weekend. So I think that's a team to watch. Kansas is just not healthy. Without Kevin McCullough, they're a much different team, and I think we're going to see that play out. And Duke, you know, John Shire still has to prove that he can do it. In the post-Coach K years, he's got an All-American and Kyle Filipowski. Jared McCain's an NBA guy, but can you put it together and stamp a run and really say this is the John Shire era?
Well, Myron, since Evan Cohen anointed you the winner of our bracket challenge, we need to know who you have in the Final Four and who's your national champion.
Yeah, I'm probably wrong. So UConn. and then I got Alabama coming out of the West. And then in the South, I have Kentucky. And then in the Midwest, I think Creighton is the best team in the Midwest. So I got those four teams, and I got UConn winning it all.
If Myron wins, who looks better, me or Myron? Just out of curiosity on this. I mean, because, like, he's picking against himself.
So you want to take credit?
He just picked against himself.
So now you're taking credit if I win? Like, what? I got to give you commission or something if I win? Like, what's going on here, man? What kind of situation y'all got going on?
I'm just
on
saying, Myron's right saying now? That I jinxed him and he's not going to win. So if he does win, I think I deserve more credit than Myron does.
Wow.
Myron Metcalf, tremendous ESPN college basketball reporter. You hear him here on ESPN Radio. Thank you so much for the time, Myron. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, there's Myron Metcalf. And Smalls is also nervous about something else. Dodgers are coming back here, Smalls?
Yeah, they are.
She's so annoyed.
They're so good. I will say this, though. Friend of the show, Mookie Betts, having a huge game today.
Nice.
You know, maybe this is a little bit of our doing because he came on our show, got some good juju, and is performing great today.
Yeah. Let me go out here and ball to take the spotlight off of my teammate.
Yeah, he just...
as you always say, let me tell you what's not going to happen. There that spotlight is not going to be off of Ohtani. I promise you that. Wait till he gets back to the States. 12-11 Padres right now, bottom of the eighth inning, two outs in the game that's on ESPN. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by Applebee's. Download the Tournament Challenge app and fill out your men's and women's brackets now.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Love him, baby.
Oh, still so good. Nas, Lauryn Hill, If I Ruled the World. No, what, you're just not going to talk, Smalls?
Oh, I didn't know you were wanting me to talk. I thought you had more to say.
Smalls just like nodding. We're on radio.
I thought you had more to say, Evan. No, I wanted to give you a little bit more runway.
No, that was it.
It was written, right? That album?
The brown CD with the yellow writing.
Well, I thought it was on Illmatic.
The first two were. No, Illmatic was the first one.
Yeah.
This was the second one. I think it was written.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Yes, I believe you're right. Yeah, I think that. I always like The Firm. Underrated.
Oh, AZ, Foxy.
Nice.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was written. Good call. 96.
Yeah.
96.
Right. Well,
Illmatic,
it's been
New York State of Mind. Illmatic was
so good.
Oh. Here's a cheesy transition. It's been written on the tournament challenge that our final four for the men's.
Take that back.
You can't do that to Nas.
Nope.
Like, I feel like Nas would be offended.
We're in New York.
Yeah, come on, man.
You know, I swear to God, I just thought of a story I haven't thought about in years. I once interviewed Nas, and in the middle of the interview, I promise you, he stopped the interview. He's like, hold on a second. And I'm like, okay, and I'm just buying time. He's like, Al Pacino just pulled up next to me. In the middle of the interview, Nas is sitting there in California on the phone for whatever promotional thing he was doing, and he looked next to him, and Al Pacino was right next to him.
And they were in California, not New York?
Yes, in California. I don't know. Okay, anyway, you can fill out your tournament brackets at the
ESPN. Good talk.
It's free and easy. Just figured I'd tell you the story.
You were interviewing
Nas? That's the takeaway?
I'm just trying to connect the dot.
Why would Nas
be on the phone with you?
Well, he wasn't on the phone like we were talking as friends.
No, I'm just saying, but why would he be talking with you?
Because he must have been promoting something, and I somehow was able to get him on.
Yeah, it's not like he called him up, hey, Ev, what are those quarterback rules again?
Exactly. Hey, man, I got to chime in on what them Knicks is doing. What? Like, what?
That's your takeaway. I give you this story about Nas and Al Pacino, and your takeaway is, why was he on the phone with you?
Yes.
I don't know. I actually have no idea.
I want to talk to Nas.
Me too. I would have no chill, though.
There's really a lot of hate. That's really what it is. It's a lot of hate.
Jealousy is what you're saying.
Jealousy, yeah. Exactly. Okay. I can hate you now.
What?
I can hate you now.
Padres increased their lead, by the way.
She didn't get that.
15-11. I'm sorry.
We got a lot of things
going. She's locked on.
All right, here's what's happening currently. Okay, tell me. Smalls is giving baseball updates. CeCe's making random references to Nas songs, and I'm trying to promote our tournament challenge bracket.
Okay, yours is
not random. Javonte played that as a part of the region.
No, but you're doing Hate Me Now in the midst of all of it.
I mean, we we were talking about Nas.
That's right. Filling out brackets with ESPN is free and easy.
He was in that video.
Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. You can fill out up to 25 men's and women's brackets for more chances to win. Create and join groups to compete against others and join the ESPN Radio men's and women's groups to play against us. The app also makes it easy to share your champion and Final Four picks across your social channels. All right, we're going to give out our men's brackets right now. Women's starts tomorrow. Smalls, kick us off with your men's bracket.
What do you want? Final four champion?
Final Four and champion.
Okay, coming out of the East, I have the Big Ten tournament champion, the Illinois Fighting Illini. Yes, I think they're going to beat UConn, even though UConn is a better team than that. I think Illinois is hot at the right time. And yes, I did go to school there. Coming out of the West, I have the 2 seed Arizona emerging there. Out of the South, I have Houston walking to the Final Four. And then against my better judgment, in the Midwest region, I have the number 1 seed Purdue going to the Final Four. Even though Hembo told me that that probably wasn't a great decision, maybe I watched too much Big Ten basketball this year. I always default to the Big Ten. But I have Purdue and Houston on one side of the bracket, Illinois, Arizona. I have Illinois and Houston advancing. And then I have Illinois cutting down the nets. And here's why. Do I think they're going to win? No. But could they win? Yes.
That was the worst setup ever.
They're a 3 seed, which are the best players in the country, and Terrence Shannon and Marcus Tomas. They're hot at the right time. And I would rather, my bracket's going to be busted anyway. It's going to be torn up into shreds probably after today. So I would rather go down picking my team when they actually maybe have a little bit of a fighting chance than not picking them and this being the year that they finally do it.
Do I think they have a chance? No, but they're going to win the championship. Got it.
Maybe.
Okay.
You never know.
All right, CeCe, your men's bracket, your Final Four.
All right. I got a Big East team getting to the Final Four. It's just not the one that everybody thinks. I'm going with the Creighton Blue Jays. They're going to be out of the Midwest bracket. I got them making a run to the Final Four, getting to Phoenix. I also got the Auburn Tigers, the Fighting Bruce Pearls, coming out of the East, finding a way to get through UConn, get through that bracket. I think there are, what, three conference tournament winners other than Auburn in that bracket? So that's a pretty tough bracket. Mm-hmm. But I find myself rooting for Auburn because I'm rooting for Bruce Pearl and how emotional he was after the conference tournament, you know, his dad not being able to be there. So there's that. I'm going with UNC out of the Western region, and I'm going with Houston out of the South, Kelvin Sampson, Jamal Shedd. I love that head coach and the best player on that team having that type of synergy, the way that they can defend. I got to believe that if you're going to win a championship this time of year, tournament-style play, you got to hold people down, you got to stop people, and Houston can do that. And then, of course, UNC, we talked about this before, Eb, just their overall experience being on this stage, Armando Bacot, RJ Davis. Mm-hmm. I trust those guys.
All right, and winning it all?
Winning it all, I have the Houston Cougars.
Wow. Okay. All right, here we go. My Final Four. I have UConn and North Carolina on one side of the bracket, Duke and Kansas on the other side of the bracket.
Kansas.
So I picked Kansas thinking maybe their best player would have a chance to come back. Yeah, he's been ruled out, so that's not ideal. I did it on time, unlike two people over here. We were told to do it by Monday, and then Tuesday is when the guy gets ruled out. You guys did it yesterday, and I look like a moron as a result. And I went with Duke just because nobody's talking about Duke, and I'm like, yeah, maybe they'll pull a run. And I also thought it would be good for our show because CC is really firmly put himself as a versus between himself and Kyle Filipowski.
Yes.
So then it would be good
that's
for us.
That's
CC could be anti-Duke in the Final Four. I then have...
He's just a new version of Grayson Allen, right? He's a bigger version
Grayson Allen is so good this year. What, he hit 9 threes last night for the Suns?
He was 1 rebound short of a triple-double.
He's so good right now for the Suns. Awesome. And then I have North Carolina and Kansas in the finals, which is a terrible pick. And then I have North Carolina winning it all this year. I've been saying it all year. Sorry, Nuno. He's a huge North Carolina fan. I can't get over veteran experience, and they've been there before, as CC mentioned. RJ Davis, Armando Bacot, Hubert Davis got there so early in his career. A few years later, kind of knows what to expect in that spot, that I'm going UNC to win it all over Kansas.
Yeah, but that's not what makes the tournament exciting, right? Picking the winners, the people that are going to get to the Final Four. What makes it exciting is picking the upsets. Who you got? Biggest upset on the opening round weekend. Who are you rolling with?
I have James Madison over Wisconsin.
I do too. That's in the best interest of our show.
Wow. No, it's not.
In the best interest of our show.
That classic 12-5 upset. Absolutely. They are primed, Evan.
They have the best odds of any 12 seed to upset a 5 seed. And it happens every single year.
It does.
Well, you can't have a bigger upset than what I picked. Okay? It's just impossible to have a bigger upset than what I picked. I picked Virginia to win. And because they've already been eliminated, that's probably not going to happen.
Probably not going to happen.
Probably not. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I just realized something. I may have actually done okay here. When I picked it, I didn't realize this. When I picked it, you actually picked the slash.
Yes.
So I get the other team.
Yes.
Oh, I'm still alive.
Mind blown.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I may be okay.
You might be.
You're probably not.
Okay, thanks, Nuno. I picked your school, so hate on me all you want.
You still have Kansas going to the national championship, right?
Yeah, that's probably not going to work out for you.
So how quickly today do you guys start rooting for chaos, right? You have your brackets. There's some bragging rights, although, Michelle, I don't even know if you're on, like, the homepage because they misspelled your name, right?
So, yeah, they misspelled my name.
So you're not even there. Like,
wow.
Let's get that fixed.
Wow.
But, like, how soon do you start rooting, like, you don't care about your brackets anymore, especially if you don't have any money on it, that you just start focusing and enjoy
the... That's a degenerate, Nuno.
Okay, I'll give you the exact game.
The answer, Nuno, is immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Like now I'm rooting for it. Like, how am I not rooting for Long Beach State to upset Arizona today?
I am.
I'm rooting for my bracket.
Forget about it. I want Long Beach State for the upset.
Long Beach State
outside
to beat
of Illinois today, I want all the upsets in the world.
So I picked 111 over a 6, and it happens today at 12:40 p.m. Eastern time, and it's also a double whammy because it's the team that Hembo thinks are going to make a run here. My first big upset I want is Duquesne over BYU.
I picked that too.
I want BYU to go down because Hembo's all in on them, so it would be perfect. And
they can shoot the lights out of the basketball, though.
Keith Dambrot, head coach there, was LeBron's coach in high school. Has been around for a while, so he's got a lot of experience, and he is going up against BYU 12:40 p.m. Eastern time today. All right, before we get to Canty's best bet and unsportsmanlike moments, I do want to tell everybody about True Green. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank, True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners. I'm one of those 2 million for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. We're chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
So our bet of the night didn't work out last night. We took the Milwaukee Bucks on the money line over the Boston Celtics. Of course, they lost by 3. Didn't know that Jason Tatum was going to play. We knew it was 50-50 with that ankle injury. He pushed through it. And not only that, dude balled. He dropped 23 of his 31 points in the first half. So, I mean, unbelievable performance by JT and the Boston Celtics. Now, we're going to do something a little bit different. Usually we would be in the association, but because it's the kickoff to March Madness, I guess the real start of the NCAA tournament, we're going to go with a little three-team teaser, SEC style, on the first day of the NCAA tournament. So the conference that we're going to go with to feature in our teaser is the SEC, as I mentioned. And I'm going to go with, starting off with the Kentucky Wildcats, the number three seed in the Southern region, taking on number 14 Oakland. And of course, Kentucky, I'm going to tease it down to 10.5 points on the spread. So we're going to lay the 10.5 with Kentucky over Oakland. We're going to move this thing on to the Midwest region and go with number two seed Tennessee versus number 15 St. Peter's. We're going to lay the 18.5 points. We're going to tease it down to 18.5. And then we're going to go over to the Eastern region and go with number four Auburn over number 13 Yale. And we're teasing that down to 9.5 points. So let me run it back for you. We've got Kentucky laying 10.5 against Oakland, Tennessee laying 18.5 against St. Peter's, and then Auburn laying 9.5 against Yale. That three-team teaser pays out at plus 293.
And Otani's translator has the same ones, which is amazing.
Wow. Okay. That just happened.
Time for the unsportsmanlike moments.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
I mean, I waited 3 hours and 50 minutes to make the joke.
Yeah.
It's good restraint to some extent, yeah. I guess. Maybe a little bit. All right, anyway, time for the unsportsmanlike moments of the day. Let's start with the NCAA tournament, as we mentioned, is going on today, right? And one of the locations is Salt Lake City, Utah. So the media comes in, and they're trying to get situated, and they're using their laptops to get online and work, and they have a tweet out about the internet password, Salt Lake City, Utah, at that building, which is about one guy by the name of Michael Jordan. The Wi-Fi name is Jordan Pushoff.
Jordan pushed off. I love it.
Jordan pushed off in Salt Lake City because
he didn't push
course,
off of Brian Russell. It was a push off. It was a push off. I mean, I don't care. Like it was the way of the world in the NBA. Push offs, hand checking like that happened.
Yes.
Like it was a thing. So
but to have that level of pettiness in 2024 is amazing.
It doesn't take away from the greatness of Michael Jordan.
That was 1998, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
So that's 26 years later.
Yeah.
Their Wi-Fi password is still that. That's amazing. Or Wi-Fi network name is still that.
I respect it.
Do you name your network? Like, do you have a name for your network in your house?
I do.
Is it like, I'm not asking you what it is because then people can actually steal it from you.
Yeah.
But is it like something of meaning?
It's a movie reference.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
interesting.
It's a movie reference from Coming to America.
Good.
You?
No, mine's like apartment 5G or whatever.
I really hope that's not your apartment number.
No, 5G as in like the Wi-Fi, you know, it's 5G.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying 5G was an apartment.
You think I'm going to give out my apartment?
That's what I was hoping you did not just do.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. All right. All right. Next one. Saquon Barkley joins the Philadelphia Eagles, and they did a little behind the scenes with him. And Saquon outed his daughter on something.
But my daughter, funny story with her, she knows there's a lot of history in my career with the Eagles. I remember one time when I was with the Giants and we lost to Philly in the playoffs, we went to diner to get some breakfast and there was a bird and she was like, Daddy, oh no, oh no. And I'm like, what is it? She points to the bird and she was like, it's the Eagles, it's the Eagles. And me and Anna, you know, we just started laughing. And I just put my head down, I just kind of start shaking. So when I told her that we're going to be going to Philly, she kind of was just like, does that mean we're going to win now? And I just start smiling again. And I was like, hopefully we can win some more games here.
Does that mean we're going to win now? That's just an amazing thing. Do you think that his daughter was conscious of the losing with the New York Giants? Or just, are we going there because we're going to win more? Like, if you had to
probably
psychoanalyze
both.
This?
I mean, even as a little kid, you are watching the games and you know the outcome and you know when your dad comes home from work and there's a difference between winning and losing,
of
right?
Of course you know that.
I hear a voice.
She's 5 years old. Like, I get it. Like, this is the stuff I, as a fan, love Saquon as a Giant fan. Obviously, shouldn't have been picked there. Dave Gettleman has ruined this franchise. Like, you know, Lamar, Josh Allen, that type of thing. But, and I know kids are safe. The truth, tell the truth, but your 5-year-old at this point in time is like, are we going to go win now? Like, I feel like you're just doing a little too much there. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I think it's actually true, though.
I bet it is
true.
Yeah,
kids can use tablets at like 2 years old now. Like,
kids today? Like,
yeah,
smarter
exactly.
than me.
Yeah, you don't think her and some of her friends know who her dad is and know that the Giants lose a lot? Come
yes.
on now. Of course they
yeah,
don't.
Because he comes home and she says, if she didn't go to the game, did you win?
Not to mention yes. he's from New York. Like, he's from the Bronx. Like, I get that he played his ball in PA, but he's from the Bronx.
Oh, he's claiming PA, though.
What'd you say?
Saquon's claiming PA.
No, that's what I said.
He played
in PA, but he's from the Bronx.
Giants fans are in turmoil.
No, but
over
he doesn't
Saquon.
Claim New York. He claims PA.
Oh, here we go.
He represents
go.
Queens, but
he's
raised in
Brooklyn.
He's
no longer your guy, huh, Nuno? He's no longer
no,
your guy.
I'm just
now.
Saying
now that
he's
with the Eagles. He's
no love lost.
Guy.
No love lost.
Wow, that happened
you know,
quickly.
It's really interesting.
My goodness.
Knowing Nuno now in this capacity for as long as I have, Nuno is not sensitive about sports takes at all. Like, he doesn't care, right? Whatever, as long as it's logical, sensical,
yeah.
and whatever.
As long as it's a good
this
team.
Has gotten you really annoyed.
Well, you know why? Because Pat, I'll tell you the truth. Pat, the last 2 days has been
I would hope
annoying
so.
The heck out of me on just certain things. But, like, this, now Pat is like, oh, you know, Saquon's been the scapegoat and for the last 4 years that, you know, fans have been destroying him and, like, blaming him. And I'm like, dude, where are you making up this narrative? So, like, that's what's agitating me is this Philly, this Eagle fan is all of a sudden now is on this Saquon is the savior and, you know, Giant fans haven't treated him well. Giants fans have been bent over backwards for Saquon. It's just... We
and
didn't
then,
like the pick because
and then instantly
Gettleman,
flipped on him. Like the second he became an Eagle,
so annoyed
instantly
by this.
Flipped on
he's
him.
So annoyed. All right.
Pat, how many guys have
oh,
you
boy.
Flipped on? Like as an Eagle fan or Philly fan, how many guys have you turned on?
He's so annoyed.
Like stop this. You guys have acting like you don't turn on any of your former athletes. You guys hated Donovan McNabb and he led you guys to 4 straight NFC championship games. And you still hate the guy.
Yeah, because he hates us.
Oh, that's okay? Interesting, Pat, because he gets on me for not loving LeBron as a Heat fan because he doesn't love us. Anyway, last thing here, Hembo joined us earlier mm-hmm. from Greeny and Get Up, and he said he was talking about something with his brackets. He said, cross your fingers, right? And he actually did the hand motion of crossing his fingers, except he did it with 4 of his 5 fingers. Normally, people cross fingers with 2. He took his 2nd and 3rd, 4th and 5th. And somehow crossed his fingers. I've never seen a human being do this before.
I have to physically put my fingers in that position myself with my other hand for me to even be able to do that.
It looks like he's doing a variation of the Vulcan death grip from Spock.
I don't know
Star
what
Star
Trek.
Doing. Like I don't know. Like Sorry. What is like what is it? What is that?
Greeny coming up
it
next.
Feels threatening though, doesn't it?
Padres beat the Dodgers.
Does that
on
to
Friday?
Like
enjoy the turning. Unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.